Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining a community of poets from all around the world, coming together to celebrate the spoken word art form, the written word art form, and just have community and celebration of what we all love to do. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the June 15th, 2018 edition. I'm your host, Michael Amadei. I'm here with my co-host and the man who keeps everything running, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I am good. How are you?
Doing very well. I'm happy to be here tonight. The sun is shining outside. It's beautiful. It was when I came in. It might be a little bit darker
it's
now.
It's cloudy now.
It's cloudy now.
Yeah,
so
it's okay.
I've been banging in the pegs,
yes,
getting ready for my parents' 40th wedding anniversary,
yes,
today. And we're outside. And I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if it starts raining? Rain starts literally 3 seconds after I said it.
Well said, sir.
I suddenly... my messianic complex for a second kind of kicked in. I was like, as I spake, it began. I'm like, form and matter. That at any rate, it's been a great day setting up, you know, being outside. It's lovely. I like the weather right around this time in Colorado.
You do, yes.
I know it's a little bit hot for you, but you were in a place that you love today.
Yes, I was at Denver's Comic Con.
Yeah,
and
your wife, Christine.
Yeah, we went, started off this morning right when it opened, and we stayed until about 3 o'clock.
You know,
saw a couple panels.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of cosplay.
Yes.
Here's one thing I've always wondered. People who go to Comic-Cons a lot, like the really heavy people.
Yeah.
How come I never see any of them dress up as just well-adjusted people?
It is too hot.
I'm a snarky bastard. No,
there are some that are that they go to a lot of different Comic Cons.
Sure, yeah.
And they will take their cosplay from, let's say, Denver to San Diego, and they'll tweak it ever so slightly from here to there.
Oh, that's cool.
And then they'll go to another one,
you know,
and they'll tweak it ever so slightly. But after about the fifth one, they're done with it.
Oh, really?
The hardcore guys. And it's because the costume's starting to fall apart.
Sure.
Or
sure.
Get worn out.
Yeah.
So they can't just constantly use that outfit.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. But it's also people who have, there's a lot of people who use huge social media followings and things like that. That's kind of cool, though. I mean,
really
I joke around. But there really is an art form to it.
Yeah, there is extremely talented people out there
that's really cool.
Create these outfits. We had, just a real side note, we had this one woman, one gal walking the floor. She had these wings on.
Okay.
Okay, feathered and everything. And then she gets stopped to take a picture, and she extends them.
Oh, really?
And not by her hand. She has a button on or something, a cable that she can pull, and it extends them out.
So how wide were these things, you think?
They were huge. They had to have at least a 12-foot wingspan.
Oh, wow.
She was huge. It was beautiful.
See, that sounds like cool stuff.
And then, when she's done, she can collapse them back down and walk without a problem.
How do I get that set up so I can wear it all the time? Can you imagine the effects?
Well, if I see her tomorrow, I can
ask her. Yeah, get her number.
Yeah.
Or get an email address.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I could somewhat conceal wings, like underneath a coat or something, if I ever really wanted dramatic effect, like, you know, just wings come out. And then after they come out, I just kind of stand around awkwardly and go, never mind. And just put them away.
We might be able to figure that thing out.
Hey, you know, speaking of wings,
yes.
JT.
Yes.
I just went to catechism training.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of days in a beautiful surroundings, actually, at the seminary here in Denver.
Oh, cool. Yes.
And it's this big, you know, kind of almost Renaissance-style construction. And it was kind of like being in a castle for several days.
Okay.
And so I got to take catechism class and went really, really in-depth into all the Catholic faith, you know, just so I can do it when I'm at school and everything. And that was a really, it was actually much more intellectually challenging and interesting than I thought it was going to be. So as a poet, as a writer and everything like that, it's given me a lot of great things. So I haven't been able to slow down yet to really use it, but I'm happy to have the source material to kind of play with, you know.
Good.
And I think all the poets listening can kind of appreciate that when you have an experience, you're like, oh, I can draw from these things. This is good, you know. And so I really feel like that's it's been something that's really fed my mind. So I'm excited because I have about 2 weeks of just writing and working out starting Sunday, really.
Yeah.
So once this party's done, I'm just like in it for a few weeks. And I'm excited about that, actually. So, but that's all, you know, us talking about our stuff. We want to hear about, you know, We want to hear some work from you. So we're going to have a lot of great poets tonight. We also are going to reveal our June 2018 Poet of the Month. It'd be awesome if I just was kind of like, oh man, I really wish I had a drink of coffee right now. How do I get out of this? Oh, Poet of the Month. Okay, and we're back. See, that's going to work really
well.
That'll
work really well for you.
Okay, cool. Maybe I can start drinking other stuff. Michael, you got to stop saying Poet of the Month and drinking peyote. World Poetry Open Mic, live from the spirit world.
All right. That would be really weird.
I think that should be our Halloween episode.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know that. All right. So anyway, this is how it's going to work. We're going to have multiple segments. The first few, we're going to have basically five unique callers call in. You'll be put in the order in which your call is received. If you're not getting through, just keep trying, and then, you know, JT will jump on, or we'll actually keep your eye in the chat room. We'll say when we have our five. If we run over, if we saw people calling and we've already done two segments, we'll do another one so you can catch up. Then we'll do a return engagement after that where everybody who wants to call in, whether you've already read or not, can call back in for one more shot for the evening. Here are our rules. Number one, when we come on the line, please have it ready. Please have your poetry ready to go. Just so we're not wasting time. We want to keep things rolling. We've noticed those little things really add up to the length of the show. So we're just trying to keep this for everybody so it doesn't get too late. Number two, no hate speech. We've never done it on the show. It's been the rule from day one, and we're going to keep it that way. And number three, we try to skew PG-13 because we have kids and families that listen occasionally. We want to be able to spark that love of poetry with them. However, we understand we're not in the business of censorship. So if you have a really good flow going, if you have some artistic stuff going, we're not going to jump in. If it gets a little over the top, we might kind of jump in on the poem and recommend that you read it during our After Dark segment, which we usually do the first Friday of each month. All right. We good? You ready, JT?
Good.
Awesome. Okay. So we're going to need our first five callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. First segment. Let's go.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. So JT, I was lifting weights earlier this week.
Yes.
Right? So I'm in the gym. I've been actually going to the gym really solidly. I've been keeping up with it on my podcast, actually. I do a little breakout thing every day.
Yeah.
So I do the main podcast episode, and then I break off, and I do one that's a health update for the day, just kind of seeing what I've done. And so I've been really, really kind of keeping it going. And I'm noticing so many changes, but I got to tell you, this is weird. I think maybe it's my age or something. I'm not losing weight.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's weird. I'm just fluctuating back and forth, but the diet's really solid.
Okay.
The exercise is solid. So I feel like what's going to happen, I'm just waiting for the hormonal stuff to catch up.
Yeah, it'll probably catch up, and then
start
burning like crazy.
Well, yeah, because I know something's coming, but I went to the doctor today for a blood draw and everything, and I'm looking at the weight. I'm like, what is going on? And then I realized, oh, yeah, I'm going to be 38 here in September, and it's kind of how it works sometimes.
Yep.
You know, so whatever. That's okay. You know, we'll just keep going. I'm not going to stop.
That's right.
Because they go, I think, here's one thing I'm actually going to say. I'm going to do a podcast episode on this, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. This idea of when we set goals for ourselves, that there's moving away from goals and going towards goals. And moving away, like, I want to lose fat.
Right.
Moving away from goals, those don't work long term. Because, right. like, you might lose fat. Okay, great. But what if you're not overweight anymore? What's going to happen?
Right.
Right. And so that's why most people who take off weight put it back on in 2 years or less. Whereas if you make a thing of, I'm going to go be fit and healthy and make that lifestyle shift and just do it,
yeah,
then you tend to do it longer. And I think that works for poetry and with art as well. Instead of, I really got to stop being so lazy and start writing poetry, and just start saying, I'm going to try to write a poem every single day, kind of rock it the way Jim's been doing it.
Yeah.
And really push it. Or I'm going to try to find inspiration and make something. Moving towards goals instead of moving away from goals, I think that's such a big concept. And I wanted to throw it out because I think for artists, it's really valuable. But before we get into anything else, we have something to reveal.
Yes.
Not that. Barbara, get your mind out of the gutter. Seriously, Barbara. Okay. But this is the June 2018 Poet of the Month. The Poet of the Month is... Oh, come on. Okay. The person is Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Here's a brief bio. He was an English poet, literary critic, philosopher, and theologian who, with his friend William Wordsworth, who you might remember from a few months back, was a founder of the Romantic movement in England and a member of the Lake Poets. He wrote the famous poems The Rime of the Ancient Mariner and Kubla Khan, as well as a major prose work, Biographia Literaria. His critical work, especially on William Shakespeare, was highly influential, and he helped introduce German idealist philosophy to English-speaking culture. Coleridge coined many familiar words and phrases, including suspension of disbelief. He had a major influence on Ralph Waldo Emerson and America Transcendentalism. Throughout his adult life, Coleridge had crippling bouts of anxiety and depression. It has been speculated that he had bipolar disorder, which had not been defined in his lifetime. He's also, by the way, we think, credited with using bipolar as the word for the first time in the English language.
Well, that's good.
He was physically unhealthy, which may have stemmed from a bout of rheumatic, is that how you'd say it? It's like rheumatoid?
Yeah.
Rheumatic fever and other childhood illnesses. He was treated for these conditions with laudanum, which fostered a lifelong opium addiction. So he had a lot of problems. Yeah. He was one of those tortured artists, but he also produced so many great things. Something like Kubla Khan, which I think is so interesting, is that he woke from a dream and he wrote it, but then someone came and bothered him and he forgot the rest of it. But the way he describes it, it sounds like he totally woke up under the influence of drugs, wrote it, and then the high wore off and he couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, you imagine what could this guy have done without all of the substances and things, you know, and maybe, you know, we never will know, but we are thankful for all the work he did. So Samuel Taylor Coleridge, get ready, JT. The June 2018 Poet of the Month. All right. Wonderful, wonderful, darling. Okay. Now now we're going to move to, should we do a submission now or do you want to do it at the end of the segment? What do you think? Since I just did the review.
Do it at the end.
Let's do it at the end of the segment just to kind of keep things moving. I think that's a good idea. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to go right now to our first caller. We got some great callers lined up here. We're going to go to Connecticut and visit with Barbara. Good evening, Barbara.
We're going to go right now to our first caller.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. I'm very happy. A lot of good things. Knockwood. finding it.
Oh, okay. You need us to stall? Okay.
No, I do not need to stall. My poem is right in front of me.
Okay, perfect.
And I wrote this, I'll tell you my good news after. Okay. I wrote this today, actually, meeting for dinner. So, okay, it's called Pondering Dark Clouds. The sky filled with dark clouds, ominous, a sure sign of rain to come. Yet the rain abated, and it made me think of times when the room filled with clouds of anger, burgeoning inside of one or more of us, and yet most of the time these dissipated, and a strong wind moved them away. As I go through my days, I must depend on the experiences culled from many years of observing the ins and outs of the climate, both inside and outside of the door, a constant measuring of the weather. Dark clouds don't always mean rain, and darkness within a gaze doesn't signify anger at you, for it could be disgust at this one's actions, or disdain for one thing not right in their world. You are not always the brunt of this. Yet, just as storm clouds gathering create a disturbing presence, so does a countenance filled with thunder directed your way, fierce and closed, reminding you of past storms when no place was safe except to flee to another much farther away, like the time we fled north to escape Hurricane Sandy in a mad dash to find a calm and untouched area. But you can't escape a force within your own space. There is no area to find refuge from the storm in someone's eyes when they are about to explode, like the recent volcano in Guatemala that was dormant for so long, or the one in Hawaii that suddenly erupted after years of calm. We can only buttress ourselves by holding on to this one thought. There is nothing worse than the loss of love. When there is still fire, there is still love. And no matter how the wind blows around you, in the end, though there might be some collateral damage, you will find a safe shore, with winds calmed and waves back to smooth, gentle swells. End poem.
I like that piece quite a bit. You wrote that during dinner, you said? Or starting
before
dinner?
Just before dinner.
Wonderful.
15 minutes, maybe.
That's great. Yeah, that's wonderful. I've been working on a lot of poetry in the I was in that seminary courtyard during little breaks we had this week. So once I get it edited and I've got them to where I like them, I'll share some. But I think that was a lovely piece.
Thank you. I just saw the clouds going. In the car today,
yeah.
And I thought it was going to rain, and then this just came to me, and you know that's how my poetry happens. It's something happens in my life, and then something brings everything else to the surface.
That's great.
But I had a good thing happen. I'm part of this anthology too from the Poet's Attic, and if you go on my page, you'll see that I got the book. I was pretty happy until I saw in the beginning that they misspelled my name as one of the poets. Then I got really depressed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, especially since to get into this anthology and to actually get a book, you didn't need to pay anything to get into the anthology, but to get a book you need to pay. So I paid something for it, and then I got this beautiful book, and I said, okay, I paid for this, and they have my name misspelled, but they were very nice people, and you know, I got my money back. So it was very nice people. So I'll have to look at it for the rest of my life with my name misspelled. That's not, you know, not awful. At least I got my money back, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was very happy, you know. It was like, yeah, you know, sometimes they don't do that. People don't do that, you know.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, understood.
Yeah. So I was really happy. And also, I did a, if anybody's interested, I sent a bunch of these to everyone. Character takeovers, where you take a character of your from your book, and that person is posting their information and feelings, and so they do crazy things and they do contests. But if you want to go and see and maybe win a free book, you know, a free poetry book or a free book of after, because that's another thing that happened. My paperback, you know, I've been ranting about that. My paperback is out.
Congratulations.
It's there. So that's another good thing. So
yeah, it's
all
great
three
news.
Good things. That's why I'm knocking wood, you know. Anyway, so, and Samuel Taylor Coleridge, I studied him because I studied those Romantic poets, and amazing, amazing work.
Yes, yes, he was amazing. He really was.
There's so much about the Rime of the Ancient Mariner that people don't even, you know, understand or know, you know. So anyway, I'm going to get off the phone so the other four people can get on. And
it's not just four, Barbara. It's everybody who's going to call in. This is a show for all of us, for the rest of us.
Yes, yes. I'm getting off the phone.
No, it's Barbara.
See you in the return.
We love you, Barbara. Thank you so much, okay, and congratulations. Bye. And that was Barbara Collin from Connecticut, starting off the show, kicking it off in style with some good stuff. Appreciate her work, and congratulations to her. That's awesome. Although, we've had an issue where we misspelled someone's name. That was my fault.
Yeah.
Mea culpa.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, but you owned it. And
I did. But still, it feels bad.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah,
it feels
absolutely.
Bad. All right. Let's go now to Vancouver, British Columbia, to visit with Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia. Are you there?
Hi, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. How's it going?
Pretty good. I love Friday night, so life is pretty good.
We do too. It's funny now because it's become such a habit to do this show that it feels so weird. It used to feel weird to actually do something like this on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And now it is the most normal thing in the world.
Totally the opposite when we take a day off.
And it's awesome to hear your voice. I'm just gonna give you the stage and we'll talk after, okay?
Okay, so I'm going to read from the second part of my book, and this is called The Final Run. Marcy rested on a rock by the shore, nodding to the black seal skimming the surface of the shimmering water. Sunset danced and dawned across the sea to the distant lights of boats gleaming in the night like her earrings. She watched silently as the last tip of mauve reflected off the masts of nearby sailboats. And like the crosses on the wavering bay, she reached a deep inner peace as she watched the little village sparkle into evening. The next morning, she placed Amito's pearls on a bright orange rock by the aqua sea and hid in the bushes. She drew a heart in the soft pink sand. The granules were so warm and fine, she scooped handfuls and let the rose particles fall through her fingers as she and Zabadon waited. It was finer than what she was accustomed to on Earth, and the smaller size of the planet made for less gravity, making the particles magnificently lightweight. Marcy sifted pyramids of pink powder through the V-shaped crevices her small open palms made, meditatively awaiting the moment when the sphere of the Sandinasian sunlight would shine on the pearls for Amito. Like waiting for seagulls to fly into a camera shot, she sat still, anticipating the moment, breathing deeply into a meditative calm. She refused to let herself worry if this didn't work. She studied the granules of sand closely to take her mind off of Zabadon and Amito. It wasn't just sand. It was tiny particles of bubble-wrap shells, fragments of shell with pink stripes, discarded fairy homes, smooth rocks, glass and color, elf homes that have been washed away with high tide. If you listened closely, you could hear them rebuilding upshore. Beneath the clear water, luminescent minerals of the seabed radiated in the light for as far as she could see, while curves of foam moved closer to the coast with incoming ripples. The foam bubbled up to their toes, like biodegradable soap suds, a rush of water against the soft shore. In the glory of the morning, Grace washed the jasper shadows ashore where Princess Amito stood, absolved in the rhythm of the crashing waves. In the Sandinasian sun, gold highlights sparkled in her cinnamon hair, and she shook it all loose, lightening the load, the dead weight gone as she sailed into an easy, pure beginning. A sister seal resting on a stone just a few steps from Marcy arched its back to meet the morning before slipping back into the waves to fish, like she too was awakened to the power of dawn. Seagulls plunked through the ridges in the underwater sand. Marcy became one with increments of awakening, from fish to seabirds to mammals and reptiles, and the little towns by the water brewing coffee and squeezing citrus to feed their loved ones. They had to get Princess Amito to open the pearls before the sunrise moved into daytime. Then a seal bobbed up, a reminder to breathe fully, even so close to the precipice of crisis, then swam off to busier currents. The tiredness of all her years had caught up with Princess Amito, who finally landed in the greenery south of the beach. She headed straight to the water, looking much older than her 18 years. The light-bearer plan had worked. Zabaddon flew past Princess Amito and hovered by the pearls to lead her to them. As she loomed out to capture him, her wrist knocked the shell open and she discovered her talent, the most exquisite singing voice in all the universes. She held the giant spiny oyster shell in both hands, cautiously lifting the cover as the colors of the rainbow inside shone onto her. From that day on, she became Amito Carmen Domus, meaning lost songs of home. As her voice echoed through the sea, Perdicio, who had come along to help his sister see Zabaddon, discovered that he had pearls too. He would design video games on a scholarship to the Crystal Galaxy. Marcy was relieved observing the transformation within him. It was like watching them come into their true selves was like having pronounced a word incorrectly for years and finally getting it right. End peace.
It's a beautiful, beautiful writing, Cynthia. And, of course, a wonderful read.
Thank you so much. And that's actually based on Tofino in British Columbia, if anyone ever gets to go there.
Oh, really?
As far west as you can possibly go. And it's a tourist place. And it really is that beautiful.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay. Well, we'll all have to make a note of that because I'd like to get up there sometime.
And the reason I saw the sunset is we just went and we didn't book our hotel room and then we couldn't get one. But then it ended up being that we camped and got to watch the sunrise and the sunset. And it was magnificent.
That sounds great.
So Tofino, BC, this little plug for it. And thank you for having me on the show. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the poets.
Well, we're looking forward to them as well. But thank you so much. And this is a great way to start with Barbara and you. So we look forward to hearing from you in the return engagement. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Wow, it's been a strong lead off to the show here. All right, Stan, give us a call.
Yes.
Yes. You know, there is a little bit of a delay, so we might need to play it up a little bit. How do you think, JT, should I tell everybody the pickup line I heard today?
No, not yet.
No? Okay, I'm not going to.
Maybe later.
Okay, maybe later. Okay. Hey, Stan, how's it going?
It's going great, Michael. How are you doing?
Hey, doing great. Happy to be here. Happy to hear your voice. And it's been pretty strong so far.
Oh, wow. I mean, beautiful Barbara with storms and volcanoes and love and Cynthia with people transforming in magical, mystical worlds. And then here comes me.
I think this is the perfect combination. I have to be honest. I don't even know what you're doing. I just feel like this is going to be great. So I'm going to give you the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
All righty. Well, in that case, I think we're going to do a little change up here. And I'm going to do something where the prompt was an actual headline, which was scientists find 540 million year old footprints. That was the actual headline. And the prompt was, take it, change the last of it, and make some fake news. And this is what I came up with. And now the news. Scientists find 540 million year old cave glyphs. In remote caves, there have been found, discovered on the walls, glyphs believed to have been done many millions of years before man was believed to ever exist. This discovery has rocked the foundation of both science and theology. As world-renowned authorities in anthropology and ancient languages study these incredible finds, we've learned of a primitive drawing which seems to depict what could be a raptor bent over a meal being mounted from behind by what is believed to be a primitive human male. Under the drawing were found what is believed to be primitive writings, possibly referencing the drawing. Though experts have yet to concur on the definition as a translation, they feel it may fall along the lines of something akin to any port in a storm. This just in. They just discovered a rougher drawn rendition appearing to be a raptor eating a primitive human male, with fewer and different symbols beneath it. Unlike the first discovered, these new glyphs appear to have been carved in the wall with a sharp talon-like tool, the initial believed translation being, no means no. Back to you, Michael.
This is what we've been doing almost the whole time, Stan.
I can't help it.
That was fantastic.
Oh, man.
Stan, you did it again. That was great.
Talk about taking the place and the show into a completely different direction.
That's what we're here for, man. That's perfect. No, that was great.
That was funny. Very funny. Well done.
Very well done, Stan. Very well done.
Okay, gentlemen. I was worried. I mean, after those beautiful pieces from Barbara. And this is not right. This just isn't right. Then I thought, then again, it's me, so they probably expect it.
It's great. It's perfect. It was absolutely perfect. I thought it was great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, and on to the next.
All right, and we'll hopefully talk to you during the return engagement.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks a lot, Stan. We'll talk to you then.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, changing the direction.
That was...
Whoa!
That was a good news piece he did.
Oh, it made me laugh very, very much. All right, now we're going to head to Mama Oladeji in Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Mama, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, we're happy to hear your voice. Happy Friday.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we've just had some great stuff laid down.
I heard.
Yeah.
And, I thought Stan was going to say he found a million-something-year-old cupcake.
You know, that would be exciting, wouldn't it? We find out that cupcakes were brought to us by aliens. That would have been really... The History Channel will never be the same again.
That was great. As a matter of fact, the whole program is great. I'm not going to get deep tonight. I've read this one before, but I like it, so I'm going to read it because I don't feel like being deep tonight.
Fair enough.
Here we go. What is poetry? What is poetry? Ask Poetry Soup. Poetry often is an open prayer. Or what came first? The lyrics or the song. Poetry could be hypnotizing and mesmerizing, a spell cast on the receiver, reader, to intoxicate, lubricate, and thought combines. Poetry can educate, eradicate, aggravate, and agitate. A good write could incite, spite, or delight. A poem also could provoke or choke, make you change your vote. Poetry is humorous sometimes or filled with nature's awes. The link between God and mankind, a secret heart's revealing, a delightful, playful ditty where children chant along. A poem could be inspirational, inspiration sent from some other place in time. It could be from an old poet transcended or from the great divine. Poetry will often leave something on your mind. It is a cultural, spiritual, and human exchange. Most of all, poetry is one spoken heart reaching another. My favorite poem introduces seldom used words. Real poetry may make my heart smile or my fist raise. It could be political, sexy, or analytical. Freestyle or pondered severely. Poetic pens produce poets. Poets produce poems. Poems can do all the above mentioned and more. And that is my poem. And peace.
Very, very nice. I love it.
Thank you.
Oh, that was nice, Mama. You doing all right this week?
Am I going to write?
No, no. Did you have an all right week? Did you have a good week?
Oh, yes. So far, so good.
Good.
A lot of going on at the same time. It's kind of not hectic, but crowded. I have a crowded week.
I understand that. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're doing all right, though. And
I wanted to say I'm going to listen to your broadcast about eating. So I haven't had a chance to do it yet because, like I said, I had a crowded week, but I am going to listen to that. So I'll give you some feedback on that.
Well, I'd appreciate it. It's something I just do every single day, Mama. I've done mm-hmm. – I do one just by my phone, which is, makes it easy for me to do. But I do right now I'm doing 2 episodes a day. So mm-hmm. take your time. They're not going anywhere. There's no rush. But I would appreciate your feedback whenever you get a chance.
Okay. And hello, everyone, and goodbye.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Mama. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Goodbye. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. It's been a strong first set.
Yes.
I mean, I know I say that every week, but it's the truth,
yeah.
You know? So I don't feel like it's not hyperbole. I'm not doing the everything's amazing, everything's the great. I'm not doing that.
Right.
You know? It's actually awesome. Let's go to the birthplace of some really solid poetry this year.
Yeah.
Let's go to Pennsylvania and talk to Jim. Jim's been on a roll. Hey, Jim, are you there? Jim, we're having the Skype issue. If you could hang up and call us right back, I can hear it in the headphones right now. Sorry about that. All right, so I don't know what's going on with this thing. What? One day this will get fixed, JT.
Yes,
one day. Doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't. I've really got to get a hold of that support.
Yeah.
Going, hey, we're having this.
What is going on, eh?
Been having it? I don't know. For a year?
Let's take him live on the air. Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
We're good. Now we hear your voice. Did you have a good week?
Yeah. It's been a busy week at work and creatively.
Yeah, it seems like it. I've seen you. You've been on a roll, man.
Yeah, it's like, don't know when it's going to end. I know that I'm 9 poems away from hitting 100 for this year.
That's fantastic.
Yes, last Sunday, I hit kind of a milestone, if you would consider that. Poem number 656.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. When I said that in church, the pastor said, Well, Jim, when you reach 667, let me know.
All right. So since you've been on such a roll, I'm going to let you read. We'll talk after.
Well, this one's going to be one that I did about 5 years ago. And because it's Father's Day on Sunday, it's, Father Phantasm. So it's half seen in my half stare, half believing you are there. Faded memories and faded thoughts, raindrops falling on sun-seared rock, quickly come and quickly part. I was 11 when you did not die. You took your leave, never saying goodbye. And I, the fool, follow the fool walking barefoot on broken glass and tread upon the blood-stained shards, waiting to wound me ere I pass. End of poem.
That was a strong, strong piece. Sounded like something Charlton Heston would say on top of a mountain, only in a darker version.
Yeah, it's my parents got divorced back in the early 80s. So yeah. it's just that he was never really there.
Yeah.
Because up to the time, I hadn't seen him since 1985. And unfortunately now that he passed away a little over a year ago. Mm. So it's kind of bittersweet for me.
Yeah, I can understand.
And the other reason why I've thought about doing something old is that tomorrow will be 2 years to the day that I first called into you guys at Red.
Oh my gosh, that's right, huh? It's been 2 years.
So you wouldn't believe how many shows in the archives I had to go through to find out. So when did I first call in?
It's been a while. That's a lot of shows. Awesome, man. That's so cool. I've been glad to have had you for these last 2 years. Hopefully we keep it going.
I'm glad you've been here to have me.
Of course. Of course. We're happy to. And thanks for everything, Jim. Are you going to be calling back during the return engagement?
It would depend on how long the rest of the show is because I have to I have a mandatory work day tomorrow.
Okay.
So I got to be in at 8:30.
Sure. Okay, well, we'll see what we can do to speed it along, and hopefully we can do it.
Well, don't rush on my account.
Okay, fair enough. We'll do it. We won't rush the poets, but we'll see what we can do for all the other little things that add up a lot. So, but at any rate, appreciate you, Jim. Thank you so much. And, man, it's been a great 2 years. We're excited to start working on year three with you. And thank you again.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
Of course. All right. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. You know, he didn't say anything. He didn't say one thing.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
He probably is. He's probably saying it right now.
He's probably like, I forgot to say it. JT, stall for a moment.
Okay. So on this says, made in the... Well, no, we don't have to do that. Well, there's a goose in here. What's a goose doing in here?
I have no idea.
Why did you bring a goose to the show?
The only thing in this room with a nose larger than me.
The only thing about goose that I know is that if you have multiples, they're geese. And then
that's
you can
true.
Have a gander.
Right. But a moose
is not meese.
Is not meese.
That's so
that's
wrong.
That's the problem.
That is so wrong. Maybe it's a fowl thing.
Yeah, maybe, but...
But that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, it's like bear are then bears. I wonder
no,
if
they're bears.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you could say, well, there's two bear. Instead of saying there's two geese, you wouldn't say there's two goose. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, so the plural of bear is bears.
Right. No, right. I know, but if you were talking about, like, you wouldn't say there's two goose because it's still a singular.
Right.
You would say there's two geese because there's multiple.
You're counting,
right?
Yeah.
So you could say there's bears back there for sure, just like you'd say there's geese, or you could say, but there's two bear. Or no, there's two bears. You would still say two bears. Yes.
There's not two moose.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
well, no, there is moose. Or here's the other one I would accept. Meese, or in a pinch, moof.
Moof?
It could be a herd.
A herd of
moose. This moof.
are called Moof.
Yeah.
If they ever herded together.
There is a whole list of what you call different, and it was totally a joke.
Oh, okay. But
you call different types of animals, kind of like a murder of crows, but yeah. It was a joke, though. It wasn't like the actual murder of crows. I think we could come with a whole lot of them. That'd be fantastic.
That, along with the Atlas,
would
be a we just incorporate it right on.
If that's the book I should, Michael Amade's
Oddball Facts.
Entirely fabricated atlas of the world.
I think that would work.
I've been thinking
about
that. You
can put these little things of just falsifying.
It's just a false book. The whole thing's false.
There's one person in this country.
That's a good idea. I think we should do that. Hey, before we go to the next segment.
Yes.
I have a submission.
Yes, you do.
And I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but I'm going to take a crack at it.
Okay.
This is from a new caller, and I saw her from a new poet, and I saw her mention something at the very end of the show, but I didn't see it until later after the show.
Oh, okay.
It looks like she's from Georgia
in Russia. Europe. Yeah, or yeah.
Yeah, in Asia.
Yeah, Eurasia.
And but her name is Miriam Kavildizi, I think. It's Kavildize. I'm terrible at pronouncing it, but Miriam. Forgive my mispronunciation of your last name. Here is her poem. It's called War and Peace. On dark, embraceable winter days, when I was unafraid and an outcast, when my hair was not yet baptized and the small birds were on fire, a newborn love had not yet brought thought to me. On blurry transcendental nights when there was no track of hopelessness or a vaguest vision of losing you, when half of civilization was asleep, I cast my spells upon you and disappeared. On narrow paths of resurrected demons when the sunlight was calling and the deserts pushed the winds away to gift us silence, I closed my eyes to find out that the ancient virtues are undead. On apocalyptic arrows where the creatures of higher mind left stains of blood we fed, as if they were insurance of a post-traumatic state, as if they would double the perfection of our sins, as if they would outweigh the beauty of lost innocence. My love, you live in my veins like the joyous pain of Jesus on a cross. Our minds demand everything from us, even chaos, in which our insanity is lost. Lost in a catastrophically immeasurable choices of war and peace. Wow. And that was from Miriam. Miriam, I'm not even going to try to butcher your last name again, but that was a wonderful piece called War and Peace. Miriam, thank you. That was wonderful. Loved it. Please keep sending us stuff. We would absolutely love to hear more. If you want to be like Miriam and send us a piece of your work, you can do it by sending it to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or going to our website and putting it in the contact form there. Those are the only two ways to get us a poem to read for the show. All right, JT, you ready for the second segment? All right, you stretched out? We're good?
Yep.
All right, here we go. We need five more unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic, segment two. Let's go.
Rock the mic, rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic, hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock, when you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
So we're back in the second segment. JT.
Yes?
This is insane. Okay, so we were looking at actual groups of animals.
Groups of animals, yeah.
Of course, I stumbled on the joke one.
List.
All right. Okay. Now, there's a few that are good.
Yeah.
But there are a few that are awesome. So some were like a gaggle of geese.
Right.
A herd of cattle.
Yeah.
This is great. A pile of eagles.
Okay.
Okay. An uneasy partnership of coyotes. I like a duffel bag of seals.
Ooh, okay.
A typist pool of iguanas. A Martin Landau of goats, a small intimate gathering of crocodiles, and my favorite, well, actually, there's two favorites. One is a wad of raccoons and a business lunch of meerkats.
Yes.
I think that's wonderful. Hey, welcome to the second segment. We've got some great poets lined up, but we also have another submission.
Yes.
I think I'm just going to lead off with that. Does that sound okay to you?
The submission?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right,
absolutely.
Cool. We're all about submissions here. 50 Shades of Poetry. All right. JT's got it. Okay. This one.
Expect that to come out.
Forget I said that. Okay. This one is from another poet who has not sent in something to the show before, named Bruce McRae. This is called Unfinished Masterpiece. I love you and can't stop turning the earth. I love you like the planet Mercury, like the rustle of silk and moistened quarters. You're far away, and in the next room over, you're a second moonrise in a convention of stars. This is why I dream large and live life small. My heart is the elephant's graveyard, and I can hear you laughing at my metaphors. I can see you squinting at my divisive penmanship. I love you and imagine you in the storm of night. My correspondent, my origami geisha girl. I put you in all my plays and memorized your photograph. Your scent, I imagine, is staining the wind, yellow and blue, green and gold, silver and purple. You're the voice of the spider, and I, the gullible fly. I think of you as my unfinished masterpiece, the one discovered in a garret long after my death, that a rich man bought, and I died a pauper. And that was Unfinished Masterpiece by Bruce McRae. Bruce, wonderful piece. Thank you so much for that. Please keep sending us your stuff. We would love to hear it. And that was really solid stuff. Once again, just in case you just joined in, if you want to be like Bruce and submit stuff to our show, you can send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or on the contact form of our website. Those are the only two ways to get his poetry and submit. That way, we'd be happy to read it for you. Now we're going to head to five more great callers from all around the world, actually.
Yes.
But we're going to start where we should start, in Michigan with Dennis. Good evening, Dennis.
Oh.
Hello.
Yes, Dennis from Michigan.
All right. Happy Friday night. It's great to hear your voice.
Every night that you're on the air is a wonderful Friday night.
Well, thank you.
Gotta love it.
Hey, we do. We do. And you're a big piece of that. So I'm gonna step off the stage, let you read, and then we'll talk after, okay?
All right. That sounds good. The poem I'm going to read tonight is titled Sonnet 5. It's a poem by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Sweet mercy, how my very heart has bled to see thee, poor old man, and thy gray hairs hoar with the snowy blast while no one cares to clothe thy shriveled limbs and palsied head. My father, throw away this tattered vest that mocks thy shivering. Take my garment, use a young man's arm. I'll melt these frozen dews that hang from thy white beard and numb thy breast. My Sarah, too, shall tend thee like a child, and thou shalt talk in our fireside recess of purple pride that scowls upon wretchedness. He did not scowl the Galilean mind who met the Lazar turned from rich man's doors and called him friend and wept upon his sores. End of poem. A poem by Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
Great read, Dennis. And it is a wonderful, wonderful poem, wonderful choice.
Yeah, there's so many wonderful choices to pick from this poet of the month.
Yeah, JT's ready to do it if I say it. I know that's what his finger's ready.
Yeah, you get a good man there, that JT.
Oh, absolutely.
We don't know what we'd do without him.
We really
He's
don't.
Indispensable.
We really, really don't. And I agree with you. He's very indispensable.
And we have all these little, we've developed all these little things that we have that literally just keep it really fun, entertaining for us. And
yes.
And it's a good time. It's a good time.
You know, it's a wonderful time, and what a great team you guys make.
Hey, thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for the read. That was wonderful, and hopefully we'll get you during the return engagement.
Well, I'm going to work towards it. I hope I have something worthy.
All right. We appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'll move aside and let the next poet step up. I'll say God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. All right, and that was Dennis calling from Michigan, the carpal tunnel of the Mitten State.
That's right.
Yeah, here we go. All right, now we're going to travel all the way across the world into a different time zone. In fact, to tomorrow,
yes.
Tomorrowland. Let's go to Namrata. Hello, Namrata.
Hello.
Hello. So welcome to the show. What time is it where you are?
It's 8:45
in the morning. It's 9:06 p.m. where we are. So this is great. I'm so glad you were able to call in.
It's
8:45. Okay. So how about this? Just to kind of get everything out of the way, I'm going to step back, let you read your poem, and then we'll talk a little bit after, okay?
Okay.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay. My today's poem is titled Different Stages, Single-Faced Father. It is dedicated to my father as tomorrow is Father's Day. So here it is. I can imagine the wonderful smile when you got my first look as a dad's heart pours out the tears of joy. I could not stand properly when you folded my hand to teach me walk, and I filled with cheer. As I get a strong pillar, you flip me into air. I burst into laughter, feeling like I'm flying. As I trust that you're always there to hold me. You pick me up when I fall on rocks. Those wounds were painful until you soothed with the medicine of...
I don't know if we lost her. Kind of seemed like it cut off, didn't it? A little bit?
Yeah.
I don't know for sure.
It must have.
Looked like it did. Okay, oh. Namrata, if you get a chance, try to call us back. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanted that to continue.
Yeah, I know. No kidding. But how cool is that we're able to get a call from anywhere awesome. In the world like this? We can all come together that way. I really think it's cool. Let's give her a couple seconds to try to call back in. Hopefully she can. Yeah. Okay. So let's see.
Well, I lost connection.
Oh, so it's us?
No, she did.
Oh, she lost connection.
She goes, well, I lost connection. If she can.
Yeah, Namrata, if you can give us a call back, please. Oh, yeah. I think that might be her.
That's her.
All right.
There we go.
Hello, Namrata, are you there? Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Okay, wonderful. We thought we might have lost you, so I'm going to shut up, let you read, and we'll talk, okay?
Okay, shall I start from again?
Yeah, you might as well, just so we get the whole flow of it, yeah.
Okay. Here is my poem titled Different Stages, Single-Faced Father. I can imagine the wonderful smile when you got my first look as a dad's heart pours out the tears of joy. I could not stand properly when you holded my hand to teach me walk, and I was filled with cheer as I get a strong pillar. You flipped me into the air. I burst into laughter, feeling like I'm flying as I trust that you're always there to hold me. You pick me up when I fall on rocks. Those wounds were painful until you soothed with the medicine of love. You holded my bicycle from back out of my vision until I learned to balance, to ride confidently, and I trust your teaching. As I grew up, you have been my ideal, my strength, my caretaker, feeling protective regarding his beautiful flower. I remember the loud claps when I achieved a reward. The hands were filled with blessings and the head held high with pride. Now I completed my college. I started my venture to achieve my dreams with your support and my dedication. I still can't stand on some situations, and I need you to hold my hand. I'm still afraid to fall in some, and I need you to pick me up. I still lose balance in life, and I need your support. The wounds of hurt are painful, and I need you to give a relief, a hug of relief. One thing I remember is that you are the person I can look up into in life, no matter how much I grew up. As a daughter is a dad's heart beating outside his body. End of poem.
That was so worth the payoff. Namrata, that was wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
That was great. And we hope that you have a wonderful Father's Day. We have it here day after tomorrow. Oh, so I guess it's like tomorrow for you.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing the same. Oh, so nice.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you. And thank you for everything you do for the show and all the work you send in. Please don't stop. We love your work.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Of course. Thank you. And hopefully we'll get to hear you call in a few more times sometime soon.
Yeah, sure. Have a good day.
You too. You thank too. You, Namrata. And that was Namrata calling from the future and India.
I love the joke of it being the future.
Oh, it's totally, it's ridiculous. But it's also fun, and I don't think I'm ever going to give up that joke. And if I ever move to the East, JT,
I will
call you and tell you about the future.
Please do.
Tomorrow you will fall and break your arm.
You know, and if
don't
I,
do it.
And if I do,
I know. See, that's
I
the
know
thing.
Who to blame.
If I say that every morning, eventually.
You know, I've only broken like really one bone.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
I got really lucky.
I broke so many bones.
I have fallen so many times.
Really?
I should have broken so much more.
You're a stout man.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you are. You're built. You're built to be. You're built to be I want to say a laborer, but you're built to use strength.
Oh yeah.
You can tell.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of strength, let's go to Mary in Arizona. Hello, Mary.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
Good morning from the land of the sun and the brightness and all that heat. Oh, the summer. Oh, the summer in Phoenix.
Oh, yes. The Phoenix itself, like rising from the ashes.
Hey, Mary.
So I have to share something. I had a little lunch with a musician. I'm meeting all these musicians now and having this, what I call a great life, and I don't even know how to define it yet, but maybe I'll write about it. But anyway, I was having the lunch. And we felt a couple sprinkles. We came out of a breakfast, and then we went across from the breakfast to the lunch, and we came back at lunch, and we're walking to our cars, and we look at each other in delight, and we say, "What? There's sprinkles!" No, I have to actually turn my windshield wipers on for about three and a half seconds.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting.
I was going to ask you,
Mary. Yeah, it made my whole day.
I was going to ask you, who was throwing their water out from the top of a roof or something like that when you were driving? Did you notice, was there anybody just emptying a water bottle out or something from a height?
If you want me to start talking about all the crazy stuff I see down in Phoenix land on those highways going at 85, just don't even start.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. When I get to Denver and it's a mile high and the air is so thin that people get a little crazy too, then we'll start comparing.
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to do something, and I'm sorry if Phil doesn't join us today. About 2 years ago and some, I joined you guys, or maybe a little more now. I don't remember exactly. Maybe three. I met him in 15. I don't know when I joined you guys.
Hmm.
Anyway, on 4/4/16. I wrote down this poem that he shared, I think, with your group, and then I made a little song to it. But now I make a better song. And his words still move all of us as good poems, too. So I'm going to paraphrase it just a little bit, and this is his Musings of a Wanderer is his name. The one. Murmurous thoughts, fluttering phrases from the depths. All that have lost faith and more hope, uttered unto a world of horrors and endless corridors, curse them. If it's but
of history's greatest thinkers, the temporarily displayed. For the sake of posterity, I embrace them the way others wrap their arms around form. I embrace them the way others wrap their arms around form. Horses cast between eyes of ancient stone, dry seas split open by the sun. Words that become these sound of music from a wonder. Watchers, shadows mimic, clouds away. I wish to hear a bell rider with grace from antiquity in all my own broken life space. Demonstrate a balanced metric, wild as my unkempt hair. These are the music of a wonder. I embrace sound the way others wrap their arms. Falling onto stages, nor ruled by breath organic. Until that last faithful hour when my final song departs for the grateful greater silence of among the luminous celestials, burning before our born. These are the visions of a wanderer. I embrace the way others wrap their arms
around. That's it.
Mary, very, very nice. And thank you so much for playing that. And by the way, so JT here is a bit of a number cruncher, right? I mean, he's got records on all kinds of things. And during the song, he was able to figure out. I know. Well, here's the thing. During the song, he was able to figure out when your first call into the show was.
Good.
We have a record. So it was 6/26/2015. During a return engagement.
Thing I ever saw 3 years and some.
Isn't that cool?
So I'm going to do a little silhouette and a pirouette and love you guys more.
Well, we're so happy, and it's been a great time, and let's keep it going, okay? We love you, Mary.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you and music. You know, your little music. Don't think it don't stoke me, Michael, because it does.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll play together sometime, okay?
That sounds lovely. I might come to Denver just to do that.
Hey, we'll work it out. We'll work it out. Maybe I'll come down to Phoenix.
All
who knows?
Onward.
All right, we'll see you, Mary.
Who knows?
Yeah.
We don't know that. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you. And that was Mary Conn from Phoenix, Arizona. That actually cracked me up.
I love that.
I know. Who knows? I might just end up in Phoenix. I might just wake up in the back of a limo, burned out limo, completely drunk, not knowing what happened. First words I'll hear is dilly dilly, and I'll go, Jim.
And then you go, no.
No.
JT.
No. It's not a thing. It's not. I feel like I'm going to have a dream where it says dilly. I'm just running around. It says dilly dilly. And I'm like, it's not a thing. It's not. Then I'll wake up.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was just a dream. Turn on the TV.
Or was it?
Okay. Let's go to Texas. Let's visit with Eric. Hey, Eric, how's it going?
Going good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing real good, man. It's really nice weather out here. And we're enjoying the evening. Hopefully you are, too. Did you have a good week?
Yeah, more or less.
All right. Fair enough.
So work.
Yeah.
And write whenever I can. And I actually spray myself with the water hose I work as a stone laborer. I'm sure I told you that already.
Absolutely,
but,
yeah.
I spray myself with the water hose just to cool myself down and drink Gatorade and lots of water. Keep hydrated because it gets hot.
I bet.
And I'm in a metal building most of the time, too, that definitely helps. So
that's a little rough.
We do have fans, but we don't have AC, but the fans help somewhat. So
I'd imagine, dude. Well, you got my respect for it, but how about this? I'm going to step back, let you read. Let's make this about the word, about the your work, and then we'll talk after, okay?
All righty. I am your quarter horser. I am your quarter horser, here to pull you apart in every direction until you are but mere appendages of a bloody corpse. I am your puppeteer, here to pull your strings and control your every movement. I am your master, here telling you what to do, think, how to act, and live as I see fit. I am your dominator, here to dominate everything you do as I want you to do. I am your ringleader, here to show and tell how to live and perform exactly how I want you to. I am your only true God, here to be worshipped, praised, and adhered to by my every command. I am your Harbinger, here to watch over you until you die. Then I come and take your soul and place it in whatever heaven or hell that you believe in. I am your Azrael, Archangel of Death, here to make sure that I get what death has to offer you and to make sure that the balance between dying and living people stays the same. I am your sickle-carrying Grim Reaper, here to chop your head off and reap your soul. I am your Entropy Enforcer, here to make sure that entropy has the final laugh as it kills you. I am your worst nightmare, here haunting and taunting your dreams by visiting and telling you it's time to come with me. I am your death performer, here to perform your last few seconds after you're about to die. I am death, your executioner, here to finally execute you and allow you to pass on to whatever afterlife, reincarnation, spontaneous reincarnation, or even nothing at all. I say in peace.
It's a powerful piece, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I was actually inspired every so often when I'm doing my labor, which is consists of lots of different things, but
sure.
I get inspired and sometimes I'm able to remember them because I can't, I don't have a pen and paper on me or whatever. And, but anyways, I usually get like one or two words or whatever. And then, I made a comment to a coworker about my job and my boss, he's not a bad person, but he basically is like a quarter horser.
Sure.
And, in the sense that he'll give you a list of like 20 things to do and he wants them done like yesterday.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to get it done that quickly.
Sure.
But that's just the way he is. Anyway, so that's kind of what came up with the poem and then eventually it turned into death. And I just wanted to illustrate my points of view of death because I think death is one of the truest realities that we have. Yeah, we're alive. Dvotsky, I believe, or no, it wasn't Dvotsky. I think it was Descartes. Oh yeah, it was Descartes. He actually said, he tried to prove that he was alive.
Yeah.
And he thought about it for, I think about 7 days or something. And he didn't really prove that he existed, but he did say that, I think therefore I am or something like that.
Yep.
So that's also kind of what came into thought as well. So
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think the idea of working and especially physical work, I think one thing I found is especially when I came out of my divorce back in the day, and anybody who's been divorced knows just how much that just smacks you around.
Yeah.
And I think there is something to be said for taking physical labor is in a way, not that you would have owe anybody else penance, but you get to do your own. And I think the art that comes from that, especially while you're doing it, is really, really strong and like deserves to be put down. So I actually think, as difficult as some of the stuff I'm sure you're doing is, and some of the stuff you're going through is, I think you're making some honest art, and that's something to be proud of.
Oh yes, definitely. Thanks so much. Most of my recent stuff is very honest. I wrote another poem, and I'm probably going to have to read it in your After Dark.
But okay. Yeah.
It's actually not bad, but it's about BDSM, and it has nothing. There's no sexual, anything like that either.
Sure.
But it's actually elegant for erotica, and it's not pornographic like my other erotica is.
Sure.
And what's cool is I learned a valuable lesson recently from my friend in England, and she writes erotica, and basically she believes that in writing erotica, you should leave lots to the imagination of the reader. And so in writing my poem, it's called Don't You Want to Be My Dom, Madame? And it's just, the title is a joke, but that's what the poem's about.
All right.
It's about a guy asking a woman if she wants to be his dom. But and the dom is the head person, is the best way to say it.
Yeah.
In the subculture of it. But
okay.
Anyway, I'm not gonna get into too much rambling about it, but I just thought it was cool that I learned that, and
yeah.
You can leave. So I left lots of to the imagination instead of being upfront and blunt, which is most of my poetry. So, but
well, man, we appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah. You got it.
Definitely. Thanks so much for the platform. Thanks for everything you guys do. I still need to become friends with you guys. I can't find you on Facebook for some reason.
Oh, you know what?
But.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look for you. As we get into the next break, I'll take a look for you on there, okay?
All right, cool.
All right, cool.
All right.
Eric, thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you during the return engagement, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, thanks. And that was Eric calling all the way from Texas, throwing down another piece. You know, there's a lot of – one of the things I love about this show is that – you see people who've been going through rough times, or maybe you've just come out of rough times. Mm-hmm. And we all have our stuff. But I can start seeing people's healing throughout, as we listen to them over the course of weeks. And it's not just, of course, it's not the show. Like, I'd never just think that. But I think there is a little bit about the community here that means something. When you're able to really open up and then have this community and actually have it not be rejected,
yeah.
You're able to be open and have people who actually really give your work consideration and really listen. And sometimes having people just really listen is hard to find,
mm-hmm.
And I think Absolutely. Ultimately that's what this is. So let's go now to George, and I hope we're not having the same Skype issue. Hey, George, you there? I think we are. George, we can't hear you if you can hear us. Could you hang up and call us right back? We'll put you on. Looks like it's just happened on caller number 5 tonight, JT.
Not happy about that. You know this, right?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't think you would be happy about it. So we'll probably need to redo something with the
return engagement.
Yeah.
We'll All explain right. it before we do it.
All right, here we go. Hello, George.
Hello.
We can hear you well now. Thanks for calling back.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's been an evening for technical problems at my end, I think, because I've been hearing about 50% of it, and it feels like I'm in a time warp. Because anyway, it's here. It's fine.
Well, we're glad that you're you made it. And yeah, I did see you make a mention that you're having some issues in the chat room there.
Yeah.
But how about this? Just so we skip any potential sure. issues. I'm going to step back, let you read, and we'll talk after.
Great. All her friends are gone. Damn them. They cheated her by leaving her here alone. And younger ones have not appeared. If she speaks out her loneliness, all she hears are echoes. Her progeny pop in to say hello, to show their love. but not to really listen. So she frets and vetches to almost no one and dreams a bit of imagined reappearances of dead friends, lovers, and pals. And she wakes up just as they start to hug her. Damn them. She bears a grudge to those who loaned her their longevity while they escaped into familial memories. A young nurse told her, old people have it made. No alarm clocks, no deadlines. You can just sit. And sitting by the window, she sees an old cat passing and wonders if it still has friends. End of poem.
Wow. I remember having some thoughts that were very similar with my grandfather, which I was very close with, and before he passed away, you know, and he had been in World War II and had been a professional football player and all that, and really was a loved man through his life. But at the end, all his friends were gone, you know, and that really resonated.
Yeah, it's, I know someone quite like this, and, you know, it's that when she says they're all gone, you know, there's tears forming in her eyes, and it's like, believe me, they're all gone.
Right.
You know, and I don't think younger people understand that. They understand the concept, but do they understand what it's like? It's just, there's a vacuum now. All the people that were, and even sometimes including their own children are gone. So anyway, that was my thing.
I think I can think about and understand the concept, but I can't fathom that. You know, I think really I can't. And it just really sounds like such a strange position.
Right.
And worth writing about. I think you captured it very well, George. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that I didn't have a digital interruption while I was reading. It's been my night for that. But I'll hang on and try for the second for the return engagement.
All right. Wonderful. We'll be getting there very shortly.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And that was George calling from Michigan with a really powerful piece, helping us close out the second segment. JT, what did you think about the caller traffic? Would you go for a third or would we go to return?
Return.
Okay. It looked like that, too. I was kind of keeping an eye out.
So,
okay.
The way I would like to do this for the callers.
Because of the Skype issue.
Yeah, because of the Skype issue. When you guys call in, okay, I'm going to give you your place in line, your number. If you're number 1, 2, or 3, just hold on to the line. If you're anything beyond 3, once I give you your number, call back. So I'm going to hang up with you, and you just call back in that time frame.
Okay. So numbers 4
and beyond.
Up.
Yep.
Will be...
4 and up, I will give you a number. Just go ahead and hang up. We'll ask you to call in at that time.
Okay, we'll just give it a shot this time, see what we can do.
Yeah.
All right, so anybody who wants to call in, whether you've already called in and you want to share something new, or if you are thinking about calling for the first time, let's do it. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Return engagement, engage.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back here at the return engagement. JT and I were just talking about true love.
Yeah.
And, I want to believe in true love, I think, but love at first sight,
that's the
scary thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have to agree with you on that part. True love, yeah.
True love, absolutely. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean it doesn't take work.
No, it definitely takes work.
And you're more successful in that than I.
Well, I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
But
I did find out I'm going to be the minister for a great friend of mine's wedding. And when they asked me, I said, you know what this means. You know that I'm going to make this quite possibly the most tongue-in-cheek thing of all time. And he goes, that's exactly why my fiance and I are asking you, because she's a writer as well, and they want that wordplay. So I've been hired as a minister because I will do sarcastic wordplay.
This is going to be fantastic.
I'm really looking forward to this, man.
We got to get that recorded down.
Yeah, we're going to work on it. We'll get it. I almost kind of, you know what we should do? We should get Stan to record lines, and I could have a conversation with God in front of everybody.
You know.
And Stan is the voice of God.
Would be really interesting.
It would be amazing. It would be great. Okay, all right. So now we've got some great people lined up.
Do we have a submission?
We don't have a submission for this segment. So we're ready just to go straight into it. Let's go right now to Dennis in Michigan leading us off. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, I'm back.
All right, you are. You have returned to this engagement.
Yes, I have. And I didn't have to call back. It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Yes, absolutely. We're happy.
Sorry about the ones that have to call back, but that's the price they have to pay if they want to read in such circumstances.
Well, you know, we're going to try to get it fixed. We just figured it's better than, you know, having it happen over and over and over again and having to do that talk over and over again. So
it's a lot better than a long string and a bunch of cans on our end.
We're working it out. We're going to try to work it out. All right, so Dennis, I'll give you the stage, okay?
All right. The second poem I'm going to read for this evening is another poem by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. The title is Fandom or Fact, A Dialogue in Verse. Author, a lovely form there sat beside my bed. Such a feeling calm its presence shed. A tender love so pure from earthly leaven that I, unneath the fancy, might control. 'Twas my own spirit newly come from heaven, wooing its gentle way into my soul. But ah, the change! It had not stirred, and yet, alas, that change, how fain would I forget. That shrinking back like one that had mistook, that weary, wandering, disavowing look, 'twas all another feature, look and frame. And still, methought, I knew it was the same. Friend, this riddling tale, to what does it belong? Is it history, vision, or idle song? Or rather, say at once, within what space of time this wild, disastrous change took place? Author, call it a moment's work, and such it seems. This tale's a fragment from the life of dreams, but say that years matured the silent strife, and 'tis a record from the dream of life. End of poem, a poem by Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
And now another wonderful selection and a great read, Dennis.
He's got a lot of wonderful poems to select from. So if people want to try to read some of his stuff, some of the words are a little bit they're in a form that's not common for today, but they're understandable and the thought is there and it's easy to understand. I welcome anyone else. I know someone right behind me might also read Coleridge, a poem, and I look forward to it because Cynthia does all things well.
Yes, she does, as do you, sir. And thank you so much for everything you bring to the show and for what you brought us tonight.
Well, thank you. I couldn't do it if you guys didn't provide the platform and encourage us week after week after week, and we owe you a debt of gratitude for all you do for us. So on my part, I say thank you, and God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
Hey, God bless again. Thank you. And that was Dennis leading us off, calling from Michigan with another Another great read. All right, now, should we go to Vancouver?
Vancouver.
Yes.
British Columbia and Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So I'm going to give you the stage again, okay? So take it away.
So like Dennis said, I'm also doing a cover. We're going to keep the college theme going. So this is Constancy to an Ideal Object by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Since all that beat about in nature's range, or veer or vanish, why shouldst thou remain the only constant in a world of change? O yearning thought that lives but in the brain, call to the hours that in the distance play, the fairy people of the future day. Fond thought, not one of all that shining swarm will breathe on thee with life and kindling breath, till when, like strangers, sheltering from a storm, hope and despair meet in the porch of death. Yet still thou hauntest me, and though well I see, she is not thou, and only thou art she. Still, still as though some dear embodied good, some living love before my eyes there stood, with answering look a ready ear to lend, I mourn to thee and say, ah, loveliest friend, that this the meed of all my toils might be, to have a home, an English home, and thee. Vain repetition, home and thou are one, the peacefulest cot the moon shall shine upon, lulled by the thrush and wakened by the lark, without thee were but a becalmed bark, whose helmsman on an ocean waste and wide sits mute and pale, his mouldering hem beside. And art thou nothing? Such thou art, as when the woodman winding westward up the glen at wintry dawn, where o'er the sheep tracks maze, the viewless snow mist weaves a glistening haze, sees full before him, gliding without tread, an image with a glory round its head. The enamored rustic worships its fair hues, nor knows he makes the shadow he pursues. End poem.
Awesome read. Awesome read. You know, I have to say, I think it's awesome, Cynthia, is I think people who are tuning in and listen to the last two poems and go, wow, this show is really. But, you know, great choice for a piece and a wonderful read, as always.
I was going to say, one time I did a cover of Shakespeare and Philip's sound cut out while I was saying it was a cover.
Oh.
So he was wondering if I was pretending I'd written it.
You just call back in and start reading Shakespeare and claiming you wrote it.
Yeah, I was like, I thought that sounded familiar.
That's a great ploy. Right. Why didn't I think of that?
No.
Well, we've come a long way, Cynthia. When we first started, we had people calling in and reading the lyrics to Katy Perry songs and stuff. So this is way better.
Thank you for the show, and thank you for giving us a poet of the month.
Of course. I'm working on the next one already.
Hooray.
So, all right. Thank you so much, Cynthia. And we'll talk to you next time, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye. And that was Cynthia calling all the way from Vancouver, British Columbia. All right. Now.
Come on, mouse. Look at my mouse. It's frozen. Hang on. Okay. There we go.
Now we're going to travel to Texas. We're going to talk to Eric again.
Okay.
Hello, Eric.
Hello.
All right. We're back on. We're here at the return engagement. I'm going to step back, let you read. We'll talk after, okay?
All righty. Death. Is it a beginning or merely the end of all things? If it is the end, then where do all human spirits go? Do they merely vanish, or maybe they become a part of decomposed matter, as does the body? If it is a beginning, how can a dead man live again if he is blown to pieces, or if he was officially pronounced dead and buried? Death itself can be a beginning. After a man or woman dies, their body decays and becomes part of Mother Earth. Their spirit leaves their body and reunites with their God. following their reuniting with their God. Judgment Day finally comes. Every man and woman are judged with justice and with mercy. Before they are all judged, everyone is resurrected. Finally, every man and woman are placed in whatever whatever heaven or hell they believe in. There they remain for all eternity. Whichever place they are placed in, they either have happiness or pure misery. So death is both. It is the end of mortality. It is also the beginning of immortality, as some would say, eternal life. That's in peace.
Very, very nice. So really, it's once again, it's got a lot of substance. It's got a lot of weight to it. It's dense, but I really liked it.
Well, thank you so much. I actually wrote that was my first poem to write in the Navy, and I was in boot camp.
Really?
And I kept trying to get my RDC, which is basically a drill, the sergeant. I tried to get my drill sergeants to read it, and they were like, what's it about? And I said, death, and they just blew up. They didn't want to hear about death.
They get mad at you about it? Like, yeah.
Huh?
They got mad at you about it?
Yeah. They didn't like the subject death, apparently.
Well, yeah. Didn't want you focus on the positive in boot camp, apparently.
Well, apparently not.
Apparently not. Man.
It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to talk about a boot camp, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
We did have this one guy. He actually dehydrated himself, and he was trying to kill himself in boot camp. And, yeah, they weren't fond of that. He was actually on suicide watch, too.
Man,
it was bad.
Sounds like it. I mean, they probably deal with stuff like that so much. That's probably why that's such a sensitive subject, you know?
Oh, yeah, because people die in boot camp, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, unfortunately. But
yeah, true, they do.
But also, you die whenever you go to war. And also, you die physically and mentally, I believe. But because you come back a different person.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that makes sense. You're never going to be the same person when you come back.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I wrote that and actually I was writing. So when I was in boot camp, we had I don't know if you'd say right, privilege, whatever. We had the go ahead, as I would say it, to read our mail after our hours. Like after we were done for the day, we could read our mail, and we could have, if we wanted to read the Bible. I had the Book of Mormon and the Bible, the military version. And it's very small. I don't know if you've seen them or not.
I have,
but at the time, and that's one of the things they let us have in boot camp. It doesn't matter what your religion is. They make it for whatever religious text that you have. But anyways, that's pretty much the only thing you can have. You get your letters and stuff like that too, but that's pretty much what you can have in that sense. But I was just inspired, and this was about 10 or 11 at night, and I couldn't sleep, so I just wrote. And then later on, the thing that was big in boot camp was the way that we stayed awake. Because we PT'd every day, which is personal training, and it's just physical training. It's working out until you're completely exhausted. But anyways, the biggest thing was we had to drink 10 canteens every day. And so the only way that we stayed awake was because we had to take a leak all the time.
Yeah. That's actually not a bad plan now you think about it.
Oh, no, it's not a bad – I drink at least a gallon, if not two, every day. And it doesn't matter if I'm working in the heat or not. So, but, no, it's a great plan. You got to use the bathroom all the time, but you are hydrated. But you can drown yourself. In fourth grade, I almost – well, I didn't drown myself, but you can drown yourself without being in water. I drank too much water in the water fountain, and I actually puked it up.
Yep.
So – it's just like drowning in water.
That's a hell of a lot of water, Eric.
Yeah, it is. I was thirsty, man. But
you're committed. I think that's what we call
it. Yeah, I was.
You're not, if you're gonna go get a drink at a drinking fountain, you're getting a damn drink at a drinking fountain.
That's right. I was like a camel, man. I had to hoard that water, man.
That's hilarious. Like,
my teachers aren't letting me drink, man. I gotta drink.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to get it all at one time. it was crazy.
All right, man. Well, hey, thanks so much, Eric.
Well, you're welcome. Are you guys doing different segments tonight?
No, this is going to be our last one for the evening.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering. That's cool.
Hey, no problems, man. We'll see you. We'll talk to you next time, okay?
All right.
All right, buddy.
I'll be here.
Have a great week, all okay? Right.
Bye. Thank you. You too. Bye.
And that was Eric calling from Texas. All the way. That's great. I like that one. All right. Now we're getting into the call-in part, right?
Yes.
So, Stan, you are up next. Give us a call, please.
So we could start reading ingredients.
Would you like to?
I mean, we could.
I could start talking about a thing I just learned is real today.
Yes? What's real?
It's called dead butt syndrome.
Dead butt syndrome.
Yeah, apparently it's a real thing. Hey, Stan's calling.
Oh, sweet. Perfect. Okay. Saving us.
Hey, Stan.
Hey, how y'all doing out there?
We're doing real well. We're doing real well. It's been a great night, and we're just really happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you guys are there, too, and thank you.
Of course, of course. So what do you have for us this time?
Well, figures right on time. Eric sat there and was talking about hydrating. Mm-hmm. And the poem I picked up was one that I was doing on one of the empathy broadcasts, Inspiration Factory.
Oh, cool.
Which is sort of spiritual and spiritual and religious, you know. And I'll be damned. It's titled The One, Waters for All. All right, I'll be right on time. So here we go. The One, Waters for All. A world left arid in deserts of our arrogance. No oasis be found for those minds oppressed. Pleas for rain unheard by clouds of indifference. Parched hopes left wanting, lost and denied access. Flows of compassion dammed behind greed's fist, clenched. Souls thirst in drought of doubts, find naught but duress. The One, a wellspring where the soul's thirst quenched. Conscience brings rains, over dams, compassion flows. Drought of doubts end, arid desert in faith now drenched. The One seeds love, resurrects oasis as hopes grows. Peace as calm seas bring hearts and minds tide of reason. Paradise of spiritual plenty, blessings and bounty the One bestows. Waters of the One flow to all, a wellspring artesian. Fate divines all water sources. No soul need see a dry season. In peace.
Man. That was a cool one.
I like that.
Yes, and I definitely see a pattern forming here. That's another Terza Rhyma.
Wow. I think it's great, man.
I just don't get this. I mean, Racatino, Terza Rhyma, I'm not Italian.
Hey, if you go back to the Roman Empire, they had their fingers in everything, man. Except for the Germans.
They more than fingers.
They did.
Yeah.
Very true. Very, very true. Although, you know, they eventually got shown the door in their own city.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. But, hey, Stan, I got to figure this out. I think, what would you think about playing the voice of God in a sarcastic marriage?
I already said, go for it. I'm down.
All right, perfect. We're going to work this out.
This is going to be hilarious.
All right. Stan, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for everything. And we look forward to talking with you next time.
It'll be a pleasure. And on to the next.
All right. Thanks so much. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. Barbara, get ready and give us a call. Those just felt so different. Those two pieces were just so, but the linguistic ability is there 100% in each yes. one. And that's the thing I really appreciate. Like, there's a lot of people who could have done the one about the raptor and all that.
Yeah.
But there is very, very few people who would have executed it the way Stan executed it. All right, let's now go to Barbara in Connecticut. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. I was dancing to, Beat It. And
all right.
Good. I'm happy
about that. It was really cool. No, that was really cool.
JT was dancing, too. It was really hard for him to answer the phone.
That's why it took so long. Now, I am going to be reading Samuel Taylor Coleridge, Ode to Sarah, An Answer to a Letter from Bristol. And I picked it because it has my daughter's name. And here goes. Nor travels my meandering eye, the starry witness wilderness on high, nor now with curious sight I mark the glowworm as I pass, move with green radiance through the grass and emeralds of light. O ever-present to my view, my wafted spirit is with you and soothes your boding fears. I see you all oppressed with gloom, sit lonely in that cheerless room. Ah me, you are in tears. Beloved woman, did you fly chilled friendship's dark, disliking eye, or mirth's untimely din? With cruel weight, these trifles press a temper sore with tenderness when aches the void within. But why, with sable wand unblessed, should fancy rouse within my breast dim visaged shapes of dread? Untenanting its beauteous clay, my Sarah's soul has winged its way and hovers round my head. I felt it prompt the tender dream when slowly sunk the day's last gleam. You roused each gentler sense as sighing o'er the blossom's bloom. Meek evening wakes its soft perfume with viewless influence. And hark, my love, the sea breeze moans through yon reft house, or rolling stones with broad impetuous sweep. The fast encroaching tides supply the silence of the cloudless sky with mimic thunders deep. Dark reddening from the channeled isle, where stands one solitary pile unslated by the blast, the watchfire, like a sullen star, twinkles to many a dozing star, rude cradled on the mast. Even there, beneath that lighthouse tower, in the tumultuous evil hour, ere peace with Sarah came, time was, I should have thought it sweet to count the echoings of my feet and watch the troubled flame, and therein black soul jaundiced fit, a sad gloom pampered man to sit and listen to the roar when mountain surges bellowing deep with an uncouth monster leap, plunged foaming on the shore, then by the lightning's blaze to mark some toiling tempest-shattered bark, her vain distress guns here, and when a second sheet of light flashed o'er the blackness of the night to see no vessel there. But fancy now more gaily sings, or if a while she droop her wings as skylarks mid the corn, on summer's fields she grounds her breast. The oblivious poppy o'er her nest nods till returning morn. Oh, mark those smiling tears that swelled the opened rose. From heaven they fell, and with the sunbeam blend blessed visitations from above. Such are the tender woes of love, fostering the heart they bend. When stormy midnight howling round beats on our roof with clattering sound. To me, your arms you'll stretch. Great God, you'll say to us so kind, oh, shelter from this loud, bleak wind, the houseless, friendless wretch. The tears that tremble down your cheek shall bathe my kisses chaste and meek in pity's dew divine. And from your heart the sighs that steal shall make your rising bosom feel the answering swell of mine. How oft, my love, with shaping sweet, I paint the monument we shall meet. With eager speed I dart, I seize you in the vacant air, and fancy, with a husband's care, I press you to my heart. Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
Fantastic read. Great choice.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you like it.
I'm glad everybody's jumping on the board with this, Poet of the Month. Everybody's jumping on board with this Poet of the Month. I think that's great.
He is so cool.
Yeah, he
is. I mean, he could write things like this and The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Very few people have that ability to write like this.
Yeah, very true.
I mean, they are very old. These are old metaphors and, you know, and they are difficult to read because they are archaic metaphors, but they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on first reading, you know, you don't really get it, but if you look at it again and again, just such gorgeous words come together, you know?
Absolutely.
And I'm glad I didn't read this one when I was in high school, although if I had, maybe I might have enjoyed it more than just reading The Rime of the Ancient Mariner.
Maybe. I feel like, you know, there's so much stuff lost when you're that age. You don't quite understand the context of it. But then when you get a little bit older and you've gone through some stuff, then you can suddenly read an old poem that you'd read many times before and not cared about, and it suddenly brings you to tears because you suddenly realize, oh, that's what they're talking about, you know, and I don't know. I think that's just something. I think experience suddenly makes it valid.
Yeah, it does. I think if you read certain things when you're younger, you don't have the experience to understand them. But he painted a very sad picture of this woman. I don't know if it was the letter that she had been sent, or, you know, just how sad is this poem?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it could be, you know, it could be that she's dead, and, you know, that we don't really know for sure. I mean, he gets this feeling in the middle of the night, and then he's writing a note to her. So I don't really know much about it, but it seems as I was reading it more and more that she could be dead.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, anyway, I'm going to stop because you have a lot of people. And thank you, Michael. You're just keeping this open as a platform for us. It's just so wonderful, really.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. We're happy to do so.
And enjoy, you know, you and Stan together. That'll be fantastic. I hope that comes
to fruition. I hope so, too. I have a feeling, especially we were just talking, it would be great if we didn't tell the bride and groom that was going to happen. And I could
just throw out something
and have a speaker in a tree or something with Stan's
voice.
Oh,
my God, because thinking of the wedding I went to where they had poems and you know, odes and things like that.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm thinking, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody did something else?
Can we shake this up a little bit, please? Well, yes, exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
Too sickly sweet. Okay, Michael, getting off the phone.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Barbara.
And letting people come back on. Okay, have a great weekend.
You too. Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. Man, we're having a good show. Jim, get ready. Give us a call. All right. So I think it's been a really solid show. Now, JT, we are changing a little bit of the schedule. Do we want to tell people what's going on?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
We can.
It's not affecting next week or anything like that.
No. This is a couple weeks out. We are going to take off the
sixth.
The 6th of July.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
Right. And so since there's 5 weeks in this month, go ahead and grab them if you need to. Since there's 5 weeks in this month, we're going to be doing, we'll start the clues for the poet of the month for July in the last week of June.
Yep.
So we'll do the thing we would normally do in the first week. Yep. We'll just do that there at the end of June. Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Doing pretty good.
All right. Well, welcome back. I'm glad we were able to get here a little bit earlier. So I'm going to give you the stage, let you read, and we'll talk.
All right. This one was inspired by a picture prompt that Nyla put on Facebook a few days ago. Her face is in the winter sky. Her face is in the winter sky. I dwell in the trees below. Gazing down and longing, she sends eagles soaring high to beckon me, encourage me, to rise, to join, to be her lover. End of poem.
Wow. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. What'd you think, JT?
I like that.
Yeah, I did too.
I really do.
Really cool, Jim.
Jim, I really enjoy the way you're able to condense all of this material into these poems that you write. It's amazing to see.
That brevity being the essence of wit, I think there's something really there. And you get a lot of the ideas that a lot of people will take a whole poem to do, and you'll do it in a stanza. I think that's great.
Well, unfortunately, doing it this way, trying to do a long-form poem is really hard.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I go to the well, and this is what comes out, and it's like, just get in, say it, and get out.
Right.
Yep.
But then if I really want to, if I want to take my time, it's like, I just kind of go for the brevity, and it kind of, it can be a hindrance.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I see it. I see what you mean.
Especially if there's so much I want to say, but it's like, how to do it.
I understand. I actually totally understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish I had an answer for you that would actually really mean anything, but I think that's something we all have to kind of find ourselves, huh?
Yeah, there is no real answer.
Yeah. I agree. Well, Jim,
but I just keep on doing what I keep on doing.
Yeah, that's all you can do. All right. Jim, thanks so much for everything. Really appreciate you. And thanks for staying up a little bit late with us. Yep. We'll talk to you next time.
I will hear you guys next week.
Sounds good. We'll be there.
All right. Thank you.
Good night. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. Mary, give us a call. He's had some really, really solid work. Yeah. I'm glad to see he's having such a great creative year.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. That's something we hope for everybody who calls into the show and everybody who listens to the show. Mm-hmm. It's been a really, really nice night tonight, actually. It's cool.
It has.
Yeah, just has. It's kind of nice to have this just no drama, but just being able to share. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's all just a really peaceful place. There she is. And let's go to Mary in Arizona. Hello, Mary.
Hello. I tried doing it really fast so we didn't have to fiddle-daddle and all that.
You did perfectly. So,
all right, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Anniversary. Love to you and all of you and more of you. And oh, are we going to go on and on from here?
Yes.
3 years and counting. 5 years and counting, 6 years and counting. What are you guys, 100, y'all?
Feel like it.
All right, I'm going to do a Queen. I'm going to just do a little Queen in a slow way, but I think most of you know it. Poor little Freddie, he died so young. But I like their music. Not a lot of it. They were kind of crazy when I was young. Now I appreciate the complexity of it.
Yeah.
And this is a nice song, and I sing it to you. Oh,
karma this world can give.
No, I'm in the rush. Just like a... Yeah, I tried to be too free. That's a song. I gave it away. I gotta go so far into it. I practiced this even. Well, this world can give to me, God, you're all I see. Oh, you're making me live now, honey. Oh, you're making me live. Oh, you're the best man that I ever had. Been waiting such a long time in my sunshine. I want you to know that my feelings are true. I really love you. You're my best friend. We're making me live. Oh, I've been wandering round and round and round to come back to you. Rain or shine, you stood by me, God. Girl, I'm happy at all. You're my best friend. Ooh, you're making me. I've been wandering around. I should come back to you. Rain or shine. Still by me, God. I'm happy at all. You're my best friend. Ooh, you're making me mad. Never this world is cruel to me. I've got you to help me forget. Oh, you're making me live now, buddy. Oh, you're making me live. Oh, you're the first one. Things turn out bad. No, I'll never be lonely. You're my only one that I love. The things I really love, not things that you do. Oh, you're my best friend. Ooh, you're making me sad. Ooh, oh, you're my best friend. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, you're making me sad. Oh, honey. Oh, honey. It's not on the floor. Pick up the phone and say goodnight to you again.
Mary, thank you so much. And I got to say, we love the music. I love the commentary, too. It makes me laugh. Great. I think it's awesome. Thank you.
If I do nothing else, I at least entertain, and I love you guys, too.
Hey, that's your job when you're a musician, right, and you play
that's
it out,
love.
Huh?
That's when you feel among love, then you do love. That's what you do.
Well, I got to tell you, Mary, one time I went into Wine Coop Brewery here in Denver. It's a pretty famous bar. And there was this guy sitting down. He sits down. He starts playing piano. And no one's paying attention to him. He's great. But the thing is, he's acting like he's in a full house. You know, he finishes and he'll be like, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, thank you so much. It's like he's playing to a full house. And it turns out later, he's a really famous blues pianist and no one knew who he was. But he comes in and he does the same show, whether or not the audience is paying attention or not. And I think that's kind of a cool thing. We're there to entertain when we're performing.
Isn't that about the best thing we do? I'm finally meeting musicians here, and they don't give a shit if they're, I'm sorry to swear now.
It's okay.
If they're paid or not.
Yeah.
And they're good.
Yeah.
And I honor them, and gosh, it's nice to be among that. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? I admire that myself, too, and I really do appreciate it also. So happy to hear you're developing. I can hear you musically coming more into your own. And thanks for everything.
Confidence is the key. And what you get that through love. And time, and I don't know, a lot of stuff. I don't know. I'm not defining it.
Mary, just as a side note, go look up. It's a new U2 song. It's called The Showman, and it's written by Bono, and it's kind of making fun of front men and musicians who have to sing. He says,
see,
making it
better than cynicism.
Making
a
spectacle of falling apart.
My soul to the end of time.
Mary, thanks so much. We love you.
You're welcome. I love you guys. And then next time,
All right,
I'm
going to
listen to the end.
All right. Well, thank you. And that was Mary Kahn from Arizona. So everybody, listen up. We really appreciate all of you. We're really so happy that you chose to spend some time with us tonight and that you shared your work. It does mean a lot to us. And, you know, she said she wanted to listen to the end. Well, this my friends, is the end.
Okay.
So, from myself, from JT, from Novia the studio cat, and from Mercer the studio dog, and from Seamus the real life Garfield, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Keep writing, keep getting after it, and we'll see you next time.